Good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. It's great to always come and worship. Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And another occasion, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Nothing like being in the Lord's house to come and worship Him. After all, He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He died for us. He's coming back to get us one of these days. And we're going to spend an eternity with Him. So it's good to come and worship Him. And we're so glad you're here. And if you're in the parking lot listening or later listening on the website, may you feel just a special blessing as we serve Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, it's so good to come into your presence. We come through the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. We honor you, we worship you, we praise you. Lord, we know that we'll spend an eternity praising you and will never be enough. That while we were yet sinners, you died. You sent your Son to die for us. Give us eternal life. Out of our gratitude, we praise you. We honor you. Now you're welcome in this service today. You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know whether we know you, love you. You know somebody that's hurting. Maybe somebody that's puzzled about a certain situation. Lord, out of your wisdom and your love, your grace, your mercy, pray that you'll meet every need. That each person will feel that leave this building feeling loved, not just by their fellow Christians, but loved by Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Alrighty. Good morning again. So good to see this crowd with us today. We have a little different service today. Sort of like last week. We're doing everything with the video songs. And we love our ladies playing, but I told them, I said, this gives you guys a nice break and able to enjoy and sit back and enjoy the service. So that's always a good thing too. Let's all stand together. Jeff has us ready for Oh How I Love Jesus. Let's sing it like we mean it. Oh how we do love Jesus. And it's different, so we may not know it real well, but we're going to get it. Okay? We'll be doing it again one day.
Oh,
going to talk about all of our announcements and prayer requests, and we have a few additions. Our evening today will be children's meeting as well as adult, all starting at 5. Okay? So I know you're not going to see it there, but add it mentally in your brain or write it down. I have to write everything down myself, but yeah. Our council meeting today at 11 after service. We need everyone to go to the end of the hall in the Sunday school area, to the end of the hall on the right where our adult class meets, because we'll have plenty of seating there. So we'll go down to the last door on the right, so we have plenty of seating. Next Sunday, I think the Wings had your meeting last week, Miss Rosina, and we are going to take up a special offering, so dig deep in your pockets or please prepare ahead of time for the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I actually did get a call from Pregnancy Resource just this week about the baby bottles are happening. I know we all collected those last year, and thank you all so much. We had a wonderful turnout. But I told her that I think this time we're just going to pass a different type of a sweet little baby basket of some sort, and we're going to collect our offering that way and get it turned in to them. And she certainly appreciated that. I got my call from Jan. I just remember her first name was Jan. And she was so sweet. She said, "Oh, that is wonderful. I just wanted to make sure we didn't let you guys miss out on the baby bottles if you wanted them." So they were good with that. So we'll get that done. The search committee for the youth pastor search, that is right there underneath the Sanctity of Life in your bulletin. That will be Wednesday the 21st at 7:30, and that will be in the fellowship hall. So you'll go downstairs for that at 7:30. And then I see Baptist Men's Day is actually going to be the 25th. So they have a lot of plans, it looks like. Special events beginning with breakfast. They love to meet and eat. That's good. The guest speaker is going to be Bobby Williams. What a blessing. Great. One of our own. We're happy to hear that he's going to be able to help us with that. And so join the guys for the celebration of a wonderful time together. I'm sure it will be.
We'll let you know about the times after today's council meeting.
Okay, okay. So Jeff will have more information on that next week.
Yeah, and all men are invited. Plan on coming to breakfast. You'll get to hear Bobby downstairs.
Yes.
And then, of course, we'll eat. And we get to cook. We'll talk about each other.
Sure.
So it's fun.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it if you come.
And if my husband's present, don't be shocked at anything that you hear. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be behind the bus. Yeah. So any other announcements that I might have missed? Because we're going to move on to prayer request if we haven't missed any announcements. Okay. Do we have any additions or deletions to our existing list from anyone out in the congregation?
Okay. Do you remember David and Tally's mother? I think
Judy. Mm-hmm. Judy Tally. Okay, so we'll add Judy to our prayer list. I do have some additions. A Dawana Metters, Kathy gave me these, is in the hospital, so let's lift her up in our prayers. And then our loved one of Myra Hill, we all love her so much. She had a minimal damage house fire. So let's remember this family as well. And then our Tammy Harville, we are so pleased with her recovery thus far, but there is another leg surgery for her this Wednesday. So please lift her up in our prayers for Wednesday. And the family of Olin, this is actually one of our family, one of my special cousins. He was actually married the year I turned 4, and he was my pick of all my cousins. I cried for him every time he was around. So he's always been so special. We've always laughed and talked about, you know, I would tell Nancy, you know, he loved me too when he loved you. But yeah, he was just one of, all 26 of my cousins are special, but he was just a special cousin and passed at 81, actually the same year as his sister. So that's a little, yeah. But there's still 2 siblings left in that family. So let's be in prayer for that family. Tomorrow his services will be at Canton Baptist at noon. If anyone in here has had the opportunity to ever meet Olin and Nancy, he was a very loving kind of guy. He was very special. Are there any others that we need to add? Yes, we
pray for Miranda Dean. She beat cancer one time, but the cancer came back, and now she's going through chemo again.
Okay.
Just pray that God heals her.
Yes. We'll remember her for the Lord to be with her and heal her in a special way. Is there any others? The flu epidemic I do see mentioned, and please be in prayer for people and encourage people that aren't used to being out a lot to be very cautious.
Yes.
Michelle Suits. Okay, and what was the last name, baby?
Stoots.
Oh, Suits. Okay. All right. I can't hear this morning. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, let's remember her in our prayers. So, we do have some additions, and Kathy's got all those. We'll have those in the bulletin next week. Is there anything else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Okay. All hearts clear. Mr. Jim, would you mind leading us in prayer, please?
Our great Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for this time that we can come together to bring our petitions before you. Father, we have many upon our prayer list today. Lord, we just ask that you will bless each and every one. Touch those, Lord, that are preparing for surgery and guide the doctor's hands. Father, we pray that you will be with those who have lost loved ones, and that, Father, you will wrap your loving arms around them and comfort them. We pray, Father, that you will be with those who are battling cancer. And Lord, that you will just place your healing hand upon them. For Lord, we know you're the great physician and that you have the power to heal. And so we ask that you do that today. We ask, Father, that your will be done and not ours. We pray, Father, for our pastor as he comes forth to bring us the bread of life. And we ask that you will speak through him and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, as we sing again for our praise and worship, this is one we have done before. It's one of our 4 that we are still practicing and working on so that we know them loud. So stand with me, open the eyes of my heart. I'm actually the praise team today. We've got one that can't talk, much less sing, and so I just told Rita and Leonard just enjoy sitting back and we're going to all sing together. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. for Children's Church. Our children can be dismissed for nursery, Children's Church, wherever we need to go.
Join the angels in heaven. Around the throne of God, according to Isaiah 6, the seraphim from time immemorial until the end of ever, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. They've been doing it forever. They're doing it this morning, and you join. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And truly He is holy. Beyond our understanding of purity and holiness. You know, in the newsletter this week, if you've read it, you know that I mentioned my wife Pamela, her love for Jesus and her boldness in witnessing. And it didn't matter where, whether it's in an airport or an airplane, a city bus or a breakfast nook in a motel or to the next door neighbor, Pam was going to witness. And it's interesting, I sent the newsletter off. There's a few people that I send it to that Wes doesn't have on his computer. And I sent it to one of Pam's relatives, who's a younger lady. And she didn't hardly have time to read it when she texted it back and said, all my life I've looked up to Pam and wanted to be like her, to have her love for Jesus, to have her boldness in witnessing. Well, later in the week, another lady that's older than me, I mean, she's pretty old, texted me and said the same thing. Said, you know, I've known Pam for 40-something years. I always wanted to be like her. I wanted to follow her example. I wanted to have her boldness in witnessing. You know, the concept of following another Christian and imitating their example is biblical. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 10, the verse of, part of 11, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, let's start at 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men to all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now that's a bold statement. That's an audacious statement. For Paul to say, I'm going to follow Christ, you follow me, and you'll become like Christ as well. Now when you think about it for a moment, Paul didn't have a New Testament he could hand these people where they could read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus taught and how he acted and how he lived. These people were Gentiles. They had no Jewish background. And Paul had knew the Old Testament. Paul had had his own personal experiences with Jesus, his own teaching from Jesus. And so he couldn't say, read your Bible, read the Gospels and be like Jesus. Paul had to say, I'm going to follow Jesus as I understand him, and you follow me. Interesting, in Thessalonians, Paul says, chapter 1, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Both groups, Paul says, you followed me. You followed me. That example, we learn and we do. Now, the question everybody needs to ask themselves is this: how much like Jesus am I? Not how much like Jesus is the person sitting beside of you or in front of you, behind you. How much like Jesus am I? If every Christian were like me, what kind of church would we have? What kind of witness would we have in the community? What kind of community would we have? What kind of example am I setting? Am I setting an example? Do as I do? Or is my example do as I say, not as I do? It's not the same now as it was when I was growing up, of course, but how many times did I see some, especially a dad, if I ever catch you smoking, boy, I'll beat the daylights out of you. Look, if I ever catch you drinking, son, you'll be regretting the day I found that out. Do as I say, not as I do. It's setting a lousy example. What kind of example are we setting? You think about the life of Jesus. Jesus was faithful at church. You remember there's a scripture that says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Lord's Day. If we're following the example of Jesus, we're going to be faithful. Jesus also practiced giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running together. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. And evidently the ministry, Jesus' ministry was a giving ministry. You remember when they had the Lord's Supper right before the crucifixion and Judas left? Some of them supposed that Judas, being the treasurer of the ministry, was going out to give money to the poor on behalf of the ministry of Jesus. It was a giving ministry. Jesus had a ministry that was, Jesus' life was a holy life. You remember on one occasion he says, which of you convicts me of sin? He says, just point out any time that you caught me sinning. Now he broke some Jewish rules, like healing on the Sabbath. But he says, you know, this lady's been bent over and doubled over and had this problem for 13 or 17 years, and she needs to be healed right now. She doesn't need to wait another day. But Jesus was never convicted of sin. He died on the cross as our sin-free substitute. Jesus was also one who shared. He taught. The Bible says he went about teaching and preaching, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He lived a life of ministry. And you know, Jesus had a loving spirit. Don't forgive seven times. Forgive 70 times seven. Forgive those who despitefully use you and mistreat you. And on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. They don't know what they're doing when they're crucifying me. Forgiveness. When you look at Jesus, you see all of those wonderful, wonderful characteristics. And we know that Jesus set the example. And Paul says, I'm going to follow Jesus. You follow me. Now, I don't think many of us have arrived at perfection yet. Anybody, you know, you're perfect? None of us. But how much have we grown? How much did you grow in 2025? Spiritually. Now, some of us grew in other ways in 2025, but how much did you grow spiritually in 2025? Do you have some spiritual growth gifts, goals for 2026? Or just going to muddle through for another year? Do you have some goals? You know, following Jesus is not how much you know. It's how much you do. Years ago, I read a story. It's probably a made-up story, but it applies. Church called a new pastor. First Sunday, he preached a marvelous sermon, and they went out patting themselves on the back saying, man, we called a great preacher. Well, the second Sunday, he preached the same sermon. They thought, well, that's weird, but maybe he hadn't got unpacked yet. Third Sunday, he preached the same sermon. Now they're starting to get concerned. Fourth Sunday, he preached the same sermon. So the deacons go in and say, now, pastor, don't you have but one sermon? He said, it's a great sermon, but you preached it four times. He said, oh, I got lots of sermons, but no use telling you a new one until you do the one what I just told you in that sermon. I feel that way sometimes about coming in, just preach the same sermon about 10 Sundays in a row and see if it changes anything. And I'm sure I'm not the only pastor that does that. It's not how much we know, but what we do. Now, I wasn't here in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, so I don't know how it was here at Barber's Grove. But in the communities that I was in, two things happened. One, the charismatic revival. And people speaking in tongues and words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And those who were teaching on those things put out lots of cassette tapes. At the same time, there was what's called the teaching revival, faith teaching revival. And there were several prominent teachers like Kenneth Hagin that taught faith. And they also put out lots of cassette tapes. And then like Charles Stanley and Jerry Falwell, what we would call more traditional ministries, they were putting out cassette tapes. And back in those days, the 60s, 70s, 80s, it seemed like everybody had a cassette tape player. And whenever we got the first car that had a built-in cassette player, we were thrilled. And so many Christians I know went around listening to tapes, listening to tapes, listening to tapes. And sometimes you'd see a little group gathered around and tape player, and they got their notebooks and their Bibles, and they're learning, and they're learning, and they're learning, and they're learning. But you know, somewhat happened. Some of them, their heads expanded, but the hearts and hands didn't. They got more knowledge, but it didn't change their lifestyle. Now, I know some that it did change their lifestyle. The more they learned about the Word of God, the more they learned about spiritual gifts, the more they were involved in serving the Lord and living godly and holy lives. Again, I don't know how it was here at Barber's Grove, but I know how it was where I was. And it's a joy to see one person that really grew, but it made you sad to see somebody else that they got more and more and more knowledge, but it didn't change. You know, when you get to heaven, you get up to the gate, there's not going to be an angel there that says, here's your test booklet and some, was it number 2 pencils? And over there's a classroom. We're going to see how much Bible you know, how much theology you know, how much Baptist history you know, and how much general church history you know. And then we'll assign your level, your grade level when you get to heaven. No. How much you know is not going to be that important. The more you know, the better. But it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh, not the knowledge in the head. How many people did we tell about Jesus? How many hurting people did we give a hug in a ministry? How many hungry people did we feed? How many naked people did we clothe? How many lonely people did we give a ministry to? On and on and on. What did we do with what we knew? That's going to be the criterion, not what's in our head, but what we did. The book of James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. In other words, he's saying, listen, you can deceive yourself in thinking, I know. But if you don't do, we have a problem. We need to do. And I remember a little lime green book that we had in the junior department that had a song. Out of James 1:22 comes a song for juniors, true. Did y'all ever sing that song? Nobody but me ever sang that song. That's as much of it I'm going to sing. I won't call that singing, but anyway. You know, it's how much we do. You know, Jesus taught the same principle in the Sermon on the Mount. The very last part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following, Jesus said this, those of you who hear what I say, what I teach, and do it, you are like a people that build your life on a solid rock. And trouble may come, trouble will come, the storms will come, but you're going to stand because you're built on the solid rock of the teaching of Jesus. But he says, those who hear my sayings, my teachings, but don't do them, they're like those who build their life on sand. And when the storms come, they wash away, they're destroyed. It all depends on not just what we know, but how we do, how we live. Now, this is not a works salvation. We're saved on the basis of our relationship with Jesus. But how are we living? How are we growing in our living? Well, preacher, as soon as I know a little more, I'll do better. You remember, 2 weeks ago? I had Jeff to put a picture up on the screen of me and a little 5-year-old named Lucy. She wasn't but 4, but she had a heart for Jesus, and she gave half her toys away to some little girl who'd lost hers in the flood in the mountains of North Carolina. Now, I doubt if you'd asked Lucy too many Bible questions, she could have answered them. But at four, she had a tender heart. And at five, you remember the newsletter I wrote a few weeks ago? She wasn't leaving the yard until they prayed, and she was going out to have tubes in her ears. We can't go till we pray. And then when they got in the waiting room there, you know, prepping for surgery, she didn't care how many doctors and nurses and other people, medical people were there. We're going to pray before we go operate on me. 5 years old. I'm a few years past that myself. Most of those went around the corner. How old do you have to be to win, lead somebody to Jesus? My 6-year-old granddaughter Maggie, of course she's now a freshman in college, she led a classmate to Jesus. I've told that story before, but it's so precious. She comes in, you know, you school teachers appreciate this. She comes in one day and says, "Mama, my little friend," and I don't know what the little friend's name was, doesn't know Jesus. Next day she comes in with a grin and she says, "Mama, I know you're not supposed to talk in line whenever you go into..." Or were they going to care? But now my friend knows Jesus. And she's in kindergarten or first grade. And when Sarah, my daughter, was that age, she used to invite friends over to her house for a sleepover. And how many times she'd come down the next morning, grin and say, "Susie or Jenny or whatever her name was, the accepted Jesus last night." She used sleepovers as a witnessing tool. And then she'd take her allowance and buy her friend a Bible. Folks, we don't have to be old. And I doubt at 6, Maggie could have answered too many Bible questions. And at 7 or 8, the same for Sarah. But they had a heart for Jesus. They had a love for Jesus. And they shared it. None of us have any excuses. None of us have any excuses. Paul says, "I'm going to follow Jesus. You follow me, and we'll reach the world." We need to be setting a godly example for our kids and our grandkids. Not a "you do as I say, not as I do," but a "if you'll be like grandpa or grandma, if you'll be like mama, like daddy, everything's going to be all right." I had an older friend text me this week, and she had some questions about some spiritual things, and I sat down at my computer yesterday morning and gave her some answers. Whose fault is it if a kid accepts the Lord? They come to Bible school, they accept Jesus. Their hearts are so tender, they're so in love with Jesus. Whose fault is it if they don't grow? This little baby back here has to be fed regularly, loved on regularly, cared for regularly. If not, that little baby's not going to make it. How many times, you know, when you stay at a church a long time like I have, each stop, you see these kids, they accept Jesus, their hearts are tender. But mom and dad don't follow through. They don't buy them materials, age-appropriate materials to read, and videos to watch, and Christian music, age-appropriate for them to hear. And you'd be scared silly if some 9-year-old came walking in the door here this morning and said, "Well, Mom and Daddy didn't get up, but I drove myself to church. It wasn't but 5 miles. No, that little 9-year-old can't drive himself to church. Whose fault is it if he grows up stunted? And maybe by the time he gets to be 30, he didn't want anything to do with the Lord. What kind of example are we setting? I can just think back over and over and over and over again. How many kids could have become men and women, strong men and women of God, if they had been brought up and taught and loved in the Lord? I'm thinking about when Pam was an assistant at New London. For some reason, I went to pick her up one evening, and the guy walks up to me and he says, "You know me?" I said, "Yeah, I know who you are," and I named him. He said, "I'd love to come to church, but nobody in my family will bring me." And I wanted to stand there and cry. His grandpa lived here. It was almost like a compound. Grandpa lived here. Grandma, great-grandpa. Grandma and grandpa lived here. His family lived here in a double wide. His brother's family lived here in a double wide. And another brother lived here in a double wide. And I could have stood in the middle and hit every one of them with a golf ball no better than I can play. And nobody will take him to church. His heart's breaking. I moved on to the mountains, and every time, seemed like to me about once a month, when the Stanley paper came with the arrest in it, his name was there. And I thought, oh, so sad. He had a heart for God, and his family failed him. What kind of example do we set? And I'm not trying to be a downer, because if we live a godly life, we can bless people. We can lift them up. We can draw them to Jesus. But you see, we have the choice. I can be a doer of the word, or I can be just a hearer. And you have those same choices. I praise the Lord that I had a wife that set an example. I texted back the younger relative and said, "I tried to follow her example all my married life. She was a better Christian than me." Praise the Lord for those good examples. And many of you can sit here right and you think of mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, some pastor, some Sunday school teacher. But may we all strive that 2026, we're going to point people to Jesus by the way we live. How does the song go? "Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you?" Amen. As we have the invitation, if there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. If there's somebody that needs to come and just come to the altar and pray, somebody has something they want to share with me, anything that's on your heart, as we have this time of invitation.
You'll see it on the screen.
The Savior is waiting.
To come to him. The Bible says, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace, joy, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.